want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Thankful to be back with you today. Spending some time with each of you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Lord, we pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit, God. Give us wisdom. As we open your word, Father, give us words to speak, Lord. Lord, that they may easily be understood, Father, that we can apply them to our lives, Father, that the words we speak would ring true to those who are seeking the truth, Father. And Lord, we just pray that your will would be done on this earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Truly blessed this morning with the music we sang. What a blessing those first few songs we sang, especially. I really appreciated them. There's a lot of hallelujahs there that we were singing about, that Christ has overcome, that we have been delivered. And that ought to be something that's fresh on our hearts and something that brings joy to our lives. And ways that we can please our new King willingly, like was brought out, with a perfect heart, because he has overcome and brought us out. Bless you. I was just blessed by the way we sang this morning, just the zealousness that we believe those things. I want to go to, Jesus said that if a man will love me, he'll do it with all his heart and his mind and his body and his soul. Let's see, where's that at? What I was going to start with, but that's where I want to start. Mark. Mark 12:32. And to love him with all his heart, all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. just one of the verses that it talks about that. It talks about it in several places. That we love God with our whole heart, our mind and our body and our soul. Jesus tells us in John that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I've asked you to do if you love me. We put a lot of focus on that, and should be, because it's completely neglected today. But that love runs deeper than just keeping his commandments. That love runs much deeper than that. It's something that we want to do with a willing heart. That we want to please God. And we want to love our neighbors and do good and do right by them. I was in Manila Sunday with Brother Bert, and we were just spending some time together, and we decided to try to look up a certain area of town, just where, and we were walking along, and I just had the thought, in Manila, and we just had driven on, we had been on buses and trains, and just going around Manila, just looking for people. Just looking for people. And as we were going around there, and we'd got off and we were walking for a while, and there's, I don't know, 12 to 14 million people that live in Manila. We can't even imagine. You can drive for hours and just see people, stacked on people, all throughout the whole city. Cars and buses, and any of these big cities are like that. And the thought just came to me, and I just asked Bert, I said, wonder who the holiest man, the most righteous man in Manila is, and wonder how you would find him. Is there one? Is there a righteous man there? There's a lot of religious people there. And I just thought, is there a righteous man here? I'd like to find him. That's who I want to find. And that's the way it's been. In Acts chapter 10, we find that there was a, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band of the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. A righteous man, a godly man. God directed Peter to find him. I believe they had fellowship together. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for godly people. People come up to us on the street all the time, and they want to argue with us, tell us about their doctrine, or tell us what we're doing is wrong, or telling us how we're missing it and how we're not reaching out properly and the method that we're using to reach out is all wrong. And, oh yeah, what you have is truth here, but people aren't interested in that. You can't do that. You know what? They've just told me, I'm not looking for you. You just, well, go on. I'm not looking for you. I'm looking for someone who loves God's Word. Someone who is walking in the light that they have and in the truth that they have. I'm not looking for you. But yet, they step up and they've got to correct every little thing that we're doing or condemn it and criticize it. How much time do we waste by just looking at others, condemning and criticizing, instead of looking for godliness? Looking for righteousness in people. Looking for that fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Keeping the commandments, but bearing that peaceable fruit of righteousness in their life. Looking for men who are able to overcome their own way, as we heard about again this morning. Looking for signs and wonders to assure them that they're going to get their own way. Instead of looking of what kind of fruit I can produce. Seeing how good I can be. The Bible teaches in Titus chapter 2 and 11, you all know it, we talk about it a lot. The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously and soberly and godly in this world. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously and soberly and godly in this world. When God's grace is appearing to a man trying to bring salvation to him, knocking on his heart's door, that's where he's knocking. He's trying to tell him to turn from this wicked world and its sinfulness and its ungodliness. And you know, there's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of people that hear that call and they turn from the wickedness of this world. But it doesn't stop there. We hear a lot about, just to throw another balance in, a lot of people say that Christianity is not religion. I don't have religion. I've got a personal relationship with God. Well, I'd like for you to show me that in the Bible. Does anyone, we're Bible students, does anyone here know of any Bible verse that talks about a personal relationship with Jesus? Something even close, a Bible verse? In there. God is calling men to turn from this world to righteousness. And if we don't hear that call, we're not hearing God. And if people will not hear that call, or do not hear that call, or cannot hear that call, or are not receiving that call, there is nothing you and I can do to change them at all. There's no words that you and I can come up with that would change them. If they're not hearing God's call, we can warn them and plant a seed that hopefully that they will take heed to. But if they're not hearing from God, anything that you and I do is useless. If the Holy Spirit is not calling a man, we cannot get to the Father. No man can come to the Father unless they're drawn, unless God's calling them. God's not calling you just to be a buddy. He don't need buddies. God's not calling you just because He's lonely and wants a friend to visit with. God is calling you to be a man or a woman, and to humbly submit yourselves to His ways and to walk with Him. And to follow His path. It's not a personal relationship that's going to get you to heaven. There's nowhere in the Bible that says anything like that. Nowhere. Nowhere. Does talk about fellowship. You know where that fellowship is at? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. That not only includes Christ, but that includes other believers that are walking in that light. When God calls man to Himself, He speaks to man about sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Those things that are offensive to God in your life is what God is speaking to people about. That's grace. And without that grace, there is no salvation. And when you and I yield to that grace, we turn from ungodliness and worldly lust. And there's a lot of people that get past this personal relationship without turning, without hearing. They get past that and they hear and they know that they got to live right. And so they turn from this world. And there's many people. There's a lot of religion, and this is where it separates. There's a lot of religious people that get past that phoniness of this personal feeling. And they go on past that, and they do hear God calling. And they turn from the wickedness of this world. And many people stop there. And they get a dead religion. Yeah, they're called out of the world and they live separate lives. And that is a next step. And it's one we have to take. But are we going on from there? The Bible says that except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what this personal relationship business is all about. They've taken those verses about the scribes and the Pharisees and just turn them into throwing out religion and doing what's right. And that's what it gets so, it just gets more difficult. They throw out what doing right and turning from this world. They ignore that call. And they get saved and they get a personal relationship with God. So they think. But if they're not here and turn from the world, they're missing it. Then there's those that they hate. Those that have turned the world that are cold, self-righteous. But there's no goodness and kindness and friendliness in them. They're just dry, cold, and avoiding this world. There's hardly anything any crueler than a holy religion without love in it. It's what's happened throughout history whenever religion gets involved in government or church government or anything, it becomes cruel. And mean, heartless. It's not what God intended it to be. Many people just get to the place where they're the only holy ones and they go set out in some place all by themselves and just try to be holy themselves. That's not what God intended. Cornelius was a righteous and a holy man. And his righteousness came up before God. He impressed God. And the other brethren found him. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We're in line with Him. Because we've turned from this world, and now we're together. There's other brethren. And that's what we spend our time looking for. How I would have loved to have ran across somebody on the street whenever I was in the world and looking for God. Whenever I was first had turned from the world, what a blessing it would have been for me to see someone out there working. On the street. Somebody just out there holding out God's word. I was blessed when I've seen someone. Would see someone just out there holding a Bible up. Being separate. But offering something to the world more than what they had. It inspires me. Problem is, many people are provoked to envy and jealousy whenever they see that. We just got to go correct them. They're not doing it right. We ought to be able, if someone shows us a better way, we'll be glad to do it. We'll be glad to do it. But we can tell right away when someone's not trying to offer any better way. They just don't want people doing it this way. Well, you can just go on. We're not looking for you. Looking for honest men that are looking for truth. Find an honest man. Learn what you can from him. If you find someone looking for truth, learn what you can from him. John talks a lot about this relationship. 1 John. No. There's a verse in Hebrews that said that whenever he establishes his new covenant, said, I will write my laws upon their heart. You'll have no need that any man teach you. Do you know why those laws are written on our hearts? It's because the Spirit of grace that bringeth salvation is written there on our hearts. And whenever we preach and we teach, the purpose of our preaching and teaching is to try to reach that law that's written on another man's heart. They already know it. But deep down in their heart, it's there and it's covered up with all kinds of baggage. It's covered up with all kinds of false teachings. It's covered up with all kinds of false ideas. But yet when they hear someone say it and hold it up and just say it plainly, they see someone living it out and walking in the light. Wow! It rings true to them. And that law that's written in our heart gets brighter. And you begin to see it clearly. Because someone else has it. That's what we're looking for. That's who we're looking for. John chapter 2. Verse 15. 1 John chapter 2. Look at this. How it's. Verse 15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One." You have a unction, an anointing, a blessing, a gift. A grace from the Holy One, and you know all things. Go down to verse 27. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. We have the anointing which we've received from him abiding in us, and you need not that any man teach you." When someone tells you the truth, according to the Word of God, you know that it's right. And you love it. And you're drawn to it. And you're drawn to a fellowship, one with another. And you abide in it. And you abide in it. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error. Whenever we hold out God's word and we speak about the things of God, and someone's not interested in it, or they're fighting it and opposing it, we can tell by what spirit they're of. We love God or we don't. If we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. If we love Him, we want to please Him. And we'll find those others that also want those same things. And if someone's coming up and arguing and fighting and kicking and they don't want them, let them go. If they don't want what we have to offer, let them go. If they're not willing to hear God, there's nothing that we can say or do that will change their minds. They've got to come to God first. They've got to hear God calling. We can be that voice. But if God isn't ringing in their hearts that what we're saying is the truth, there's nothing we can say or do. The sad thing about it is, or the hard thing for us to understand, is that when we present things to them and they reject God, they reject us. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. The truth is going to divide. The truth is going to divide. It's not about a phony unitedness. Jesus came to bring a sword. Where is that? Matthew. Pardon? Matthew 10. Think not, verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Many times when we're on the streets, people will come up to us and they'll say, "Well, we appreciate what you're doing, brothers, but you're doing it all wrong. You're missing it. You're just holding out these Bible verses. You're just doing it wrong. This is the wrong thing." What do these verses mean anyway? They don't mean nothing. Why would you hold these verses out here to these people? But then try to keep fellowship together with us. Make sure that we're, well, in reality, we're just all doing it a little bit different way. I don't like you holding out the Bible verses like that. You're just condemning everybody, but we're all of the same spirit. We're all trying to get to the same place. We're all just going to heaven. No, we're not. There is a definite distinction and a definite separation here of why we're not in agreement. And there is no fellowship between us other than some kind of pretend relationship we might try to establish. You say you're a Christian because you have this personal relationship. We say we're Christians because we've heard God calling us out of this world to live righteously and soberly and godly and to put into practice His Word in our lives. There's a distinct sword here, and you're trying to take that away. When we take the sword out of Christianity, we don't have Christianity. We've got the Antichrist. And if that sword isn't there, we don't have nothing. Doesn't mean that we can't have differences. There's a spirit of those that love the Word of God. And love to see it exalted. And those who are looking for some kind of emotional relationship, they don't want to offend anyone. It'll come. This is the Spirit beareth witness with us. Find comfort in it. We know that we're on a right path whenever it's God's Word that is separating us. We don't need to get all upset about it. Need to be faithful. We don't need to not understand whenever people say all manner of evil against us and try to argue with us. Jesus said that would happen. Rejoice in it. Find your strength there. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is their strength in Nehemiah. They've gone through some struggles. And we find joy that we're in fellowship with the Word of God, even though our hearts may be broken. Even though everything around us is collapsing, our joy is in knowing that we're doing the will of God, and that will abide forever. We don't have to be policemen going around checking everybody out, making sure everybody's just doing things so-so. It's not all what I'm talking about. In fact, that's bordering on going the other way. It's having fellowship because we're walking in the light. Not what part of the light we're walking in. We love the Word of God. People that see things that you don't. There's people that see things that are things that you see that others don't. Sometimes we're a long ways apart. Don't eat and devour one another. Rejoice. Walk in the light. Be an example. You try to be the most godly person in your area. Whether they like you or not, because you're too hard on them, maybe, they think. Or because you hold out the truth, live your life above reproach. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. God hadn't called us to be a policeman. God hasn't called us to be a judge. We're to do what we're supposed to do. And we're trying to point others that way. Someone's offended you, you go to them. Most of what I've found is whenever I've tried to open up and share with some of the brethren the things that they're offended me by, or have done me wrong, They're glad to make it up. They're glad to fix it. Sometimes they don't see it right away. Be merciful. Part of being a righteous man is mercy. Kindness, goodness, meekness. Those are good things, good qualities. Patience one with another. I just remember the first time I ever went to Africa, to Malawi. Met an old man there. And everybody in the city knew who all the preachers were. Big time preachers, and they went to their churches and they collected their tithes and all of that. But there was an old man just lived out of town. And everybody knew that he was a righteous man. That's the man I want to be. He was just a good old man. We went to teach him something. I think we could have learned some things from him. Group that I went with took a bunch of candy and gave it out to all the children. And he got down to his last piece, and there was, he was a big shot preacher, missionary board. We were walking along with this old man, and two or three of these other preachers were there, and this man was down to one piece of candy, and there was 30 children following us. And this big-time preacher, he said, "Watch this." And he took that piece of candy and he flipped it up behind him in the air. And all these 30 children dove for it. He thought, "Oh, this is funny." All those children dove in after that candy. And one of the little girls got hurt. This old man didn't jump all over him, scold him. He went to that little girl. He reached in his pocket. Poor man. Reached into his pocket. He pulled out a little piece of money and he gave it to the girl, patted her on her head, sent her away. You don't think that rebuked that old man more those preachers than anything he could have said? We went to help him. He had to go around fixing what we were helping, what we were teaching. The blessing to find an old godly man like that. He didn't have to go around correcting everybody, but he did. By doing what's right. You keep God's laws and you'll be an offense to the world. You'll condemn it by your very life. Strive to be that perfect man or woman. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, we just thank You, God, for Your goodness and for Your mercy to us. Lord, help us, Father, to be what You want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone else have anything you'd like to share? This evening, Lord willing, have fellowship together. God bless you.